Welcome to the MacObserver's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 27th, 2018. And with me today, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
It's 2018 already? Wow, I'm still writing 17 on my checks.
You're still writing checks? You know, seriously, I write one or two checks a year.
And, yeah, it's about the same here.
And it's to the IRS.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so...
Because I can't pay my income tax on my Apple Watch yet.
Well, see, I don't want to pay my income tax digitally because that means that I'm handing over my money earlier. Why not leave it in my account a little bit longer? So I write a check.
Sure, sure.
I'm passive aggressive that way. Anyhow, Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
It's great to have both of you here. And I'm thinking, do we need to do a requiem or what? Because Apple has officially announced that the airport base station product line is dead.
Oh, you should have had taps lined up so you could play it.
Okay, there we go. That's all you're getting.
Okay. That was enough anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
I knew when to call it. What do you mean, yeah? Anyhow, so on one hand, surprise. But on the other hand, this really isn't a surprise. I mean, the last update we saw to an airport product was in 2013. And that was, what, like some... I don't even recall what it was that they changed for the 2013 Airport Extreme.
I think they added AC, didn't they?
I thought it already had AC. Maybe that's when it got AC.
Yeah, I think so.
But then the Airport Express was last updated in 2012. Is that right?
I don't remember anymore.
It may have actually been a little earlier than that. It got 802.11n and then never advanced beyond that. And then, and the time capsule hasn't changed for a long time either. So we've gone a few years without any changes to the airport product line. And then last November, we got the news that leaked that Apple had disbanded their wireless networking team. So it just seemed like the writing was on the wall, and now the writing is officially on the wall. So the airport product line is dead.
Let me set the stage for the discussion on this.
Okay.
You know how we talk about how Apple is very good at integrating hardware and software?
Mm-hmm.
They're also very good at integrating their technology into our lives as a solution to common problems. You know, every Apple product has Wi-Fi. And every home needs to have Wi-Fi, so you can sit in the couch with your iPad or make Wi-Fi phone calls or whatever. So Wi-Fi is an integral part of our homes and our lives. And Wi-Fi is on every product that Apple builds. So you would think Apple would want to integrate itself into our lives that way by providing a simple, easy-to-install, reliable Apple-quality solution in the form of, you know, the Apple base stations. That just seems to me to be one of Apple's core values and core solutions. Every home has iPads and phones and Macs, and every home has Wi-Fi. So Apple should be in every home with a simple integrated system to make sure your Wi-Fi on your iPad is talking to Apple's Wi-Fi base station. Simple to configure. Everything goes well. No disconnects, no headaches, no third-party snafus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems to me like something that Apple should be keenly interested in becoming part of our lives. And it's a mystery to me why Apple bailed out of that market, because they have the technical talent and the expertise to do so. There must be something else going on we don't understand.
My guess,
that's where I am.
Yeah, my guess is that the airport product line was not selling well enough for Apple to continue to put resources into it. But that could have been like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It could have, yeah. It may be that it wasn't selling that well because
they weren't advancing the technology,
updating the product.
Right. They weren't going with the mesh technology. They weren't creating cool products for the time and age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they weren't doing, QoS with their base stations.
Right.
They weren't setting them up so that they could be a VPN. They weren't doing things so that you could set up your own cloud server. You know, these are things that we're seeing on various Wi-Fi routers.
It makes me wonder, did the product manager go to Phil Schiller and say, we're getting ready to do an update. We want to add all this. We want to add QoS. We want to add a mesh system. And Phil Schiller says, nah, don't bother. I mean, what's the roadblock? What kept Apple from developing the technology?
I'm guessing it was product sales. Part of me is wondering, did Apple get into making base stations because they had to? I mean, when the original iBook was introduced and it had airport support in it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that was the big reveal. Phil Schiller jumping off of the scaffolding.
I was there. I was there in the audience and I saw him do that. And I went right out and bought a blue toilet seat Apple iBook.
Me too.
And a gray flying saucer base station.
Me
I was
too.
So excited to yeah. be able to sit in your recliner and be on the internet. In 1999, that was like light years ahead of everybody else.
We were way in the future. And the only reason we were able to do that was because Apple took this technology that just really wasn't taking off yet, mm-hmm. and they integrated it into their brand new product, the iBook, beautifully. And then they gave us a base station so we could actually use Wi-Fi. And I'm wondering if Apple's commitment to the base station product line just kind of carried forward because Apple felt like they needed to make these devices to make sure that Wi-Fi, at least for them, continued to move forward. But then as other companies were like really taking off with much cheaper products and then eventually products that had more features, Apple was losing interest and decided that...
Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. Losing interest. That's something individuals do, not corporations.
Okay. So the decision makers in Apple were losing interest in maintaining their own Wi-Fi router product.
I would rephrase that to say losing their vision.
All right, Andrew. I'm totally putting you on the spot. Losing interest or losing
vision? I was just about to jump in. It might be losing vision because since Apple has been talking, just for example, about privacy a lot lately, I was kind of half expecting them to come out with a router that was somehow privacy oriented, like it just did something different than the current products. So, I don't know. Something was going on. But I think it might have just been they just have other ideas and they don't have a vision for networking anymore, I guess.
Man, that's just really disappointing. Not that you two agree against me, but that Apple has lost the vision, lost the interest, lost whatever it is, and just isn't going to be part of this market anymore.
Or maybe it could be technical or patent-wise. Maybe other companies jumped on the patents with this mesh technology and ran with it, and maybe Apple had difficulty getting parts or getting license agreements to participate in the technology that others had developed.
Maybe, but yeah, I'm figuring if Eero and Linksys and Synology can all get... on board with mesh, then surely Apple could too. Google's doing it.
Maybe there was an effort to squeeze Apple out of the market and said, well, we're going to take this market from Apple.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know.
I've also heard a lot of people saying that Apple should build networking technology into the HomePod. I don't really think that's the way to go. What do you guys think?
HomePod or Apple TV as a Wi-Fi router? I mean, I could see that because it would be drop dead simple. You just plug in the device and you magically have a network.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if Apple really isn't feeling the need to be in this space, then it doesn't make sense to put any sort of router, mesh or otherwise, into their products. But
I'm almost ready to say that Apple has been in this market for so long that it wasn't just losing interest. It wasn't just saying, well, we don't want to do this anymore. There had to be some sort of technical or patent or strategic reason why they didn't want to do this anymore, rather than saying, well, we're not making any money. Let's just be lame. Let's just disband the team. I have a gut feeling that that wasn't the case.
I would love to know what the real reason is.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because this just feels like a missed opportunity to me. Or no, that's not the right way to say it. This is a lost opportunity because it's something they had for a while. And I know people that even though the Airport Extreme base station is out of date compared to more modern Wi-Fi routers, I know people that swear by it and they will not upgrade or transition to something else because it is so reliable and works so well for them.
And I can just imagine the psychology of the retail store. You know, John and Mary walk in and the young couple and they want to buy a new iPad and the salesman says, do you have a Wi-Fi in your house? They say, no, we just moved into a new apartment. And the salesman says, well, look at this. This handsome little Apple device, you just plug it into your router and you're on the air. And they go, wow, who makes it? Apple. Wow, how easy is it to set up? Well, you know, Apple products are so simple and easy to maintain. And oh, wow, put one of those in the shopping cart too and we'll buy the iPad with it. Well, say goodbye to that.
Yeah, well, my guess is that, at least for some people, the conversation started off exactly the same way. And then when someone said, well, here's the airport base station, and it's so easy to set up, and it just works, they looked at the price tag and were like, wow, that's a lot of money. Do you have anything that's cheaper? Well, we have this D-Link Wi-Fi router for $35. It isn't as easy to set up, but and the salesman's already been cut off because the customer said, I'll take it. Because $35 was a much more palatable price point.
And then
they could say,
well, it's a little harder to set up, but for a little extra money, we can send some technicians over to your house to do it for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice upsell.
Are we seeing a deterioration of Apple's tradition of building the best? I mean, it's failing in education. Did it fail in the home Wi-Fi market? And is it about to fail in other markets? I'm just wondering.
You know, when I look at the base station, I don't see a failure of product. It just stopped. I mean, it still is a great product. It's just not as up to date as some others. So I don't know. It sure doesn't feel like Apple's failing with the iPhone or the Apple Watch or AirPods. I am concerned about the keyboard and the Touch Bar Mac. I've already had it replaced once, and I just need to find time to make a Genius Bar appointment because it already needs to be replaced again.
But Apple could make some headway at WWDC with Canon Lake MacBook Pros with a redesigned keyboard.
You know, I don't care what processor they put in it. Just make the keyboard not break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad I have AppleCare on this one. But back to what you're saying, I don't know. I I don't think Apple's in a place where they are currently failing or about to fail across product lines. It just feels to me like they decided, for whatever reason, they were done with wireless networking products, and they couldn't get around to committing to saying that for a long time, just like they did with the Thunderbolt display.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Yeah, and of course, now I'm wondering, what's really up with the Mac Mini? We haven't seen changes to that in a long time. So are we coming up on a point when Apple is going to just say, oh, yeah, by the way, that's done?
So we're hungry for hardware.
WWDC is
a developer event, and it's not known, except for a few notable cases like the 2013 Mac Pro and some MacBooks in the past, but it's not known for a hardware event. But I expect what's going to happen is we're so hungry for hardware that all the predictions about WWDC are going to be hardware-based and hardware-focused, because we are so hungry for hardware.
Yeah, well, June's coming up soon.
Yeah.
So we'll see soon. We still have a couple minutes left, and I want to switch topics, because the other topic, it's just important. So yesterday I published an article with resources for what you can do, or where you can turn if you encounter someone on a social network that is saying things that appear to be suicidal or self-harming, like maybe they're threatening to kill themselves or threatening to cut themselves or threatening to hurt themselves in some way, what do you do? And the answer is, it turns out the different social networks have procedures in place to help, which is great. So like Facebook and Instagram, you can just click on the little ellipsis button on a post or tap on the button on a post and get to options where you can report that post as something that the service needs to look into, you know, because it may have suicidal or self-harming comments in it. Twitter, they have a form you can fill out, and some other services, they have like resources that you can, that you can turn to. They just have like a help page, but then also another way to contact them to say, hey, please check out this person. So I just want to let people know, hey, this is out there. And I'm curious if you guys have other services that we need to be looking at to include in that, or anything you want to add.
I wonder if there's an equivalent mechanism for situation where you detect somebody of serious hostility and plans to do harmful actions.
Well, yeah, those are there too. And depending on the social network, people will tell you it's great that they're there, or that's completely ineffective. For example, if you look at Twitter and you look at many of the comments that are made that people are considering to be threatening or hate speech, where nothing seems to happen, it doesn't seem like much is being done to address that side of it. But the social networks all seem to be taking personal harm comments very seriously, and are contacting the people that posted. They're contacting local resources to help people out. So that seems to be working out more effectively. Yeah.
Other than social media, I'm pretty sure nowadays all of the assistants like Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa, I think they can all direct you to resources too, if you ask.
Yeah, they're much better at that now. It used to be you'd get almost offhand quips. But that was a big thing for a little while. People were offering up comments to their voice assistant about how they were sad or wanted to die or wanted to kill themselves or wanted to hurt themselves. And they were getting these almost offhand responses. And now we're seeing more helpful responses. Like, I think Siri will bring up some resources that you can reach out to for help. And I believe that the A-Lady does the same. And one of the services, last time I checked, was still offering up comments that weren't that helpful. So, but hopefully that's been addressed.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the article that I wrote yesterday, it has resources for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Discord, and then other places that you can contact if you're looking for help or you know someone that needs help. Because the last thing I want is to lose someone that, well, just to lose someone. There we go. And so, listeners, if you have resources that you think that I should add to that list, let me know, and I will get those in there. So you can shoot me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. Feel free to leave comments in the show notes for that one. If you want to leave me a message on a social network, hey, Twitter's out there. That would be @TMODaily. And I'll be watching all those places because my feeling is anything we can do to help ourselves or each other so that we can get out of that place where we're feeling like suicide or self-harm may be the only option. Okay, let's find those resources and share them with everyone. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're out of time. We need to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always great to have both of you here. Listeners, I am so glad that you are here, seriously. I love that you listen every day. You are the best ever. So thank you for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.